Becker and Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game here on this Wednesday morning. Scott Burnside from The Athletic. We always enjoy our talks with him. He has written something on The Athletic. What would a centralized NHL playoff tournament look like? Scott, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Hope you guys are doing well, staying safe and healthy and halfway sane maybe through this.
I was going to say two S's, safe and insane. That's the goal.
Yeah, that's it exactly.
How about you? Everything good on your end?
Yeah, you know, it's listen, everyone's in the in the same boat in terms of trying to do their part and stay safe, stay healthy. We try and do take out and do it safely and support the local economy and. We're lucky at The Athletic, right? We continue to produce content and, we can all go to work every day and that's, lots and lots of people can't. So I, no question, have a pretty good perspective on how things are going and, just hoping that we see a light at the end of the tunnel sooner than later. But, it certainly is a time unlike any that any of us can remember, and you wonder how it's going to change so many things once we get through this.
Well, let's talk about that. We're doing a daily show 4 hours a day, so it's amazing how much ground we can cover. We basically leave no stones unturned, for sure, during these times. And one of the things that we have talked a lot about is, all the models that are out there. MLB kind of releasing a model. Well, I don't know if they wanted it to, but it got out there that, they're considering basically the spring training sites in the Phoenix area as a possible site. You've heard the NBA bring up Las Vegas. We've seen what Vince McMahon and Dana White are doing with wrestling and the UFC or mixed martial arts. I've admitted on this show really starting today and maybe hinting this week, I'm starting to change my mind. Well, I realize that at first you read these things and it sounds great, and I'm like, but there's so many hoops, it just seems impossible to pull off. But on the other hand, I realize, Scott, we're going to have to do things differently the rest of this calendar year and possibly the first, 3-4 months of 2021. To get through this and get a vaccine. And so we all just can't sit in our homes until then. And so there's going to have to be, business. There's going to have to be sports. There's going to have to be an economy. And so I'm now coming around to, okay, we're going to have to do things differently. And now these things, while they are going to be difficult to pull off, that's the only way you can pull something off. So I'm coming around to the fact that maybe this is what we're going to see. And reading your article, it seems like you're on board too.
Yeah, well, and I think you're absolutely right. And all these things, it was interesting. NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman did an interview on NBC SN or whatever NBC platform. He did the interview and sort of echoed. Of course, I'm sure he read my story, so this is why he got the idea. But no, basically what he's saying is the same thing that, I tried to put out there. Is it okay? People have a tendency to get, you can't do that, or you can't do the baseball thing, or the Vegas NBA model, here's why it doesn't work. And listen, I get that there's lots that, there are so many different things that you have to check off in your boxes if you're going to try and pull something like this off. But listen, what we do know is we have a lot of time. We're talking specifically about hockey here. We have a lot of time, right? You have to have patience. You have to take your cues from the medical officials, whether it's the CDC in the United States or Health Canada in north of the border. But at some point, you are going to have some communities that are going to be ahead of the others. And to your point exactly, you are going to have some communities where it's important for people – once the officials deem it safe to go back to work and whatever those parameters are, okay, well, so what could you do once you reach that stage? And, again, we're only in the first week of April. We do know with the Olympics now postponed for a year that the NHL, its broadcasters, and the players have a really significant window in terms of when you might be able to do something. Again, if the health boxes can be ticked off. So why wouldn't you look at these kinds of things? Why wouldn't you look at, okay, is there, you know, the NHL is very clear about this. They would love to play the balance of the regular season and then a traditional playoff grid, 16 teams. That way you're not worried about point percentage, and because you've got teams that are, you know, that haven't played the same number of games. So if you're going to try and have a playoff, if you don't feel you can get your regular season games in, it does create another layer of difficulty in terms of how do you work the playoffs. Do you expand the grid? I talked to a team president not long ago who was, you know, looking at 12 and 12, and so you give four byes to the top four teams based on points percentage, and then you whether you run a 3 of 5 or whatever it is to start with. But if you can run the whole regular season, that's what the NHL would like to do. If you can't, then why not look at these? Okay, could you find four places, four cities where you have the infrastructure needed to accommodate, let's call it four teams to make up your 16-team grid? Could you have hotels and restaurants? Could you do it safely? We're assuming that you'd start this at least and maybe run the entire playoff without fans in the building. What would it look like? What are the broadcast challenges? Are there things that you could do to make the broadcast, you know, more palatable for fans at home? And I think what's different about this, and say you go back to 2004-05 and the lockout that cost the NHL a season, the players and the owners and the fans, I think in general, all want the same thing, right? They want to see what they can see if it can be done safely. And so that's why you have all of these, like, nothing's off the table. Gary Bettman said that yesterday. Nothing's in. No, they haven't, they're not saying for sure we're going to do this, but nothing's off the table. And I think that's, it's healthy, right? I think, why wouldn't you debate and discuss any possible thing? I see some columnists who are writing, oh, they should just cancel the season now. Well, why? Why would you do that? You don't know. No one knows where this virus is going. No one knows where it's going to flatten and at what time. And it is going to be important on so many levels to try and get something approaching normalcy back. And you got to start somewhere. And if you can do it with sport, whether it's baseball or basketball or hockey, then why wouldn't you consider it? And I think that's where we're at right now. Like, we're not saying this is going to happen, but it's also, hey, and I think it's healthy to look at these things. Well, where could it work? Could you work in Nashville? Could you run that there? Maybe. I'm all for it. I can drive there in 4.5 hours. You know, I'm locked in. I'm putting my hand up to cover the Nashville grid right now.
Yeah, so I guess I want to, and I know you don't have the answer to this, but I'm just asking for your opinion. With all that being said, because I do think this is going to be key, the first go-around, it was the NBA, and yes, the Ivy League. I know they canceled their tournament. There were other things going on, but once the NBA said, we're shut down, that's it. Game over. Everything went downhill, everything happened right after that, okay? That was the first domino, and everything happened after that. So who's going to be the first to come out and say, we are coming back, and this is the date, and we will resume normal activities under this model? Who would you say is the answer? What sport is going to do that, in your opinion?
That's a great question. And I would hope, listen, the whole baseball thing was interesting, and I've seen a lot of people suggest that was merely a trial balloon, you know, that the league, the MLB, wasn't unhappy that it came out, because then you can sort of gauge the response with the public. You know, to me, it's way too premature for anyone to be discussing this, right? And it's I do think, here's what I think. If we get to a point where there is enough of a window, you know, and whether it's mostly in Canada, I talked to somebody from the league, you know, listen, the Midwest and the West, you know, those might be the better options earlier if you're going to do something like this. I do think the NHL is going to be in a very good position, if that window does open, to make the decision fairly quickly. Because, again, they're working on this. They've got people who are debating it and discussing it. You know, some, you know, there was a Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet mentioned the University of North Dakota and their facilities there. I covered a World Junior Championship there during the 04-05 lockout. Sure, it's, it, you know, to me, I don't know if it works hotel-wise and stuff. I mentioned in my piece Lake Louise, Banff, Jasper, the mountain resort towns in Alberta between Calgary and Edmonton. Those have housed training camps for NHL teams, the Oilers specifically. Team Canada used to train there before international competitions when they used to run a Canada Cup every three or four years. So you could do that. I think it's possible you can. I think it's important if you can go to an NHL building that allows you a better production quality. Again, all things being equal, if it's safe to go to a place like Winnipeg or a place like Edmonton, then why not do that? And to circle back to your question, I think the NHL, listen, they want very much to do it. The players are on board. You're doing the research and all the work. If medical officials on both sides of the border say, listen, I think if you follow these protocols, then you can do this safely. I think the NHL may be in a position where they're the first ones to get up off the ground. But it's not a race, and it shouldn't be, right? I mean, this whole notion of starting baseball in May, to me that seems ludicrous. We don't know enough now to suggest in a month we could do this or that or this would work. But the NHL has a window that allows them to, and I think this is what most people are thinking, if you are talking about NHL action in July and August, that's still a long ways away. And it still allows you to have some sort of training camp, maybe depending on how lucky you get in terms of how quickly communities are able to rebound from this and people continue to do the right thing, social distancing and all that. You could play regular season games, but if not, you do have a lot of runway for the NHL. And again, it's not a race, but I think the NHL, when that moment happens, will be well positioned to have a really strong plan to put forward and then, you know, see if it works out that way.
Scott Burnside is with us from The Athletic, and we're talking about his article about a centralized NHL playoff and some of the logistics that could go into it if they get the green light from the health experts. Scott, you had an interesting angle from television producers about, because that's really where this would center on. You wouldn't have fans, so how would you do it the best way TV production-wise? Let's start with the timetable. I thought it was interesting. I hadn't really thought about this, but August would be big, especially with the relationship with NBC. Tell us why.
Well, again, because when this first happened, when they first hit the pause and you start to look at when could things happen, and with the Olympics still on the schedule and with NBC broadcasting, really that created a huge issue for the NHL in terms of, what were the possibilities. But once the Olympics got postponed for a year, now you have, as John Shannon, I was talking to him, John, of course, longtime broadcaster, media member, the guy knows the broadcast industry in and out, huge inventory of sports broadcasting that's available now, and with the Olympics being postponed. So now you have, you don't have to worry about that too much. Building availability is really going to be a non-factor given how many shows and concerts and all the stuff that usually fills in the off season. That's all been canceled. That's all off the books now, and it's not coming back anytime soon, right? So, and I don't even know if the Stones are traveling now or not. Let's say they are. Rolling Stones aren't going to suddenly turn on a dime and say, okay, well, we're going to have these concerts in August, and basically the NHL can fill up those dates much more quickly than concerts and trade shows and things like that. So you're going to have arenas that are available. You're going to have broadcasters who are hungry for content, and you're going to have fans who are desperate to get back to having something normal in their lives. And the dynamics are completely different. I get that. But when you think about after 9/11 and how important it was, I remember there's a lot of debate, right? Especially with the NFL football, but the NHL was going into its training camp at that time. And there were a lot of people, it's an emotional debate, but it was, I think a lot of people felt it was really important to give people something to hang on to, give them something that recreated a sense of normalcy, gave them something to think about. And, you know, then, you know, all the economic benefits, if you are able to, you know, hire broadcast people, if you can go to cities where hotels are back up and running and restaurants are back up and running safely, like, these are not small things. So I think there are a lot of things that point to, again, all things being equal, that August, July and August, or August, September, that you can, you know, that there is a fit there for the NHL, even though it is, you know, would be, you know, in the heart of what would normally be their off season.
You know, Scott, one of the things that made me think, as a broadcaster that might potentially get a chance to do some of these games, is the feedback you got from the television producers on how you would make this a made-for-TV event with no fans in the stands, and how you would overcome the fact that you don't get that roar from the crowd. But you got some really creative answers, I thought. Share one or two with us. I was particularly interested in, you know, what they said could potentially be available to you with camera angles. You could take the netting down, for example.
Yeah, I talked to a producer who's done a lot of events across the pro gamut, but specifically with hockey, the idea that if you took the netting down because you aren't going to have fans there, that allows you different camera angles. One producer I talked to, and you'll know this because with the maybe people don't get that local broadcasters are, you know, you normally get the first round and then the national take over from the second round on in. But if you open the door, if you expanded that, now you've got maybe three groups. So you've got, you know, you've got Sportsnet, you've got NBC, you've got the locals, and let's say, for instance, you know, in Nashville, now you've got three potential, instead of having three overlapping productions, that if you combined your efforts, that you might be able to create three separate feeds that would give you, and knowing that you could put cameras anywhere you wanted to in the building, more or less, because you don't have fans, you know, you could put them, you know, in 10 feet rows up, or normally where it would be a, they call it a seat kill or something like that, where you can't put a camera because there's seats there or whatever the term is. But you might be able to do all kinds of different things to produce an event, even though there aren't 18,000 people there as there should be and there normally would be, but that gives the fans at home a different look at a playoff experience. You know, nothing's going to replace that, right? Yeah, I mean, you guys know that. Nothing replaces that moment at Bridgestone in a Stanley Cup final game against Pittsburgh, or in a game seven situation, any of those things, right? Like, no one's trying to pull one over on the fans and say this is going to be just as good. It's not. But you could do something that is different and that maybe creates something that in a very difficult time is nonetheless meaningful. And I think that's, and there are lots of people who are thinking about those kinds of things now. And again, I think that's a healthy thing to be thinking about. Well, if we get a chance to do it, how could we do something different? How could we blow the doors off it and make it something that is that resonates with fans who are really hungry for this kind of experience after something terrible that we've all endured?
Scott, at what point will the NHL or the other leagues just have to look at all of this and go, unfortunately, this season we're not going to be able to finish, we're not going to be able to crown a Stanley Cup champion, and start focusing on plans for 2021?
That's a good question. I don't know that there's I don't know that there's a drop dead pace. But listen, we know this for sure. Bill Daly, the deputy commissioner, was on a podcast with Pierre LeBrun and I 3 weeks ago. And what's very clear, and Donald Fehr, the executive director of the NHLPA, was on the following week, and they're in lockstep on this. Whatever happens between now and the end of the 2019-20 season, if there is a playoff, all those things, we know for sure that the NHL and the players are committed to having 82 games next year. So the 2020-21 season is going to be a complete and whole thing. And again, assuming that this virus doesn't take us into January next year, and the models suggest that won't happen, but who knows, right? I'd like to assume that we're able to get back to some sort of sense of normalcy, and all things being equal, they will have 82 games next year. That is paramount to the league and the players. So you can still do what we've just been talking about, start the season later, you wipe out All-Star in South Florida, sorry about that, wipe out the bye week, which most teams from a management side don't like particularly, and then go late into June and have your 82 games, crown a champion in 21, and then you're back to a normal routine. But if this virus, if we get, you know, if we're into late May and then into June without a real direction from health officials, with still spiking cases, with hot spots, and maybe new hot spots appearing that maybe we didn't anticipate it appearing into June, then I think that's the time when you start to say, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're gonna call it, and we're going to really focus on 2021 and move forward that way. But I think we do have a lot of runway in terms before we get to that point. And that's why I think it's easy for a columnist to say, well, they should cancel the season now. But I ask, why would you? Because you don't know. No one knows. We can only wait and wonder and do our part and hope that that's enough to bring this to a close sooner than later. And I think, I would say if you get into June and we're still having this conversation, we still don't know, then that's probably the time when we're at that point where you close the door on this season.
Yep. Let's hope that's not the case. Let's hope that's not the case. And I'm not a pilot, but having longer runway is a good thing. That's for sure. Scott, thank you so much for the visit. Always good to talk to you. Be safe, and we will certainly talk to you down the road.
Very good. Anytime, guys. You know where to find me. I'm not going anywhere. I'm in the same place.
Neither are we.
I am.
I was going to say, you know where to find us, too. Thank you, Scott.
Stay safe, guys.
All right.
Take care.
Scott Burnside from The Athletic. What would a centralized NHL playoff tournament look like? We will come back and discuss more of that on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.